Hey friends, this is Catherine from Unpolished But Called, and today we're talking, we're continuing our series for the 12 Apostles, and today we are going to continue with Thomas. And Thomas is one of those disciples you can almost feel in the room, even when he isn't talking. He's not the loud one, not the impulsive one, not the one trying to win the conversation. He's the one watching, listening, measuring, the one who doesn't offer easy agreement, just to keep the moment smooth. He's often remembered for one famous struggle, but today we're going to start where his story actually starts, with the way he walked with Jesus when things were still unfolding. When faith was being formed day by day, and loyalty meant showing up, even when you didn't have every answer neatly tied up. Thomas had the temperament of a man who took truth seriously. Not casually, not sentimentally, not as a comforting idea you keep on a shelf and glance at when life gets hard. Truth for Thomas was something you built your life on, or not at all. He wasn't the kind of person who could float on enthusiasm. He needed substance. He needed something solid enough to carry the weight of commitment, because he wasn't interested in half following anyone. When Thomas gave his loyalty, it came with his whole self. That's why he's so easy to misjudge. People often confuse carefulness with coldness. They confuse quiet with distance. They assume anyone who isn't loudly expressive must be less devoted. But Thomas wasn't less devoted. He was devoted in a different key. If Peter was the crashing cymbal and John was the steady melody, Thomas was the drumbeat underneath it all. Not showy, but essential. He didn't need to be noticed to be faithful. Thomas would have been the kind of disciple Jesus could trust with hard truth. Not because he was tough, but because he was honest. A person like Thomas doesn't benefit from pretending. He doesn't gain anything by agreeing quickly if he isn't convinced. He doesn't perform understanding. If he didn't get something, he wouldn't fake it. He would sit with it, turn it over, let it challenge him until it made sense. And that kind of heart, and that kind of mind is exactly the kind of soil where deep faith grows. We don't get endless pages of Thomas speaking, which in itself tells us something. He wasn't constantly trying to insert himself into the moment. He wasn't fighting for a spiritual spotlight. He didn't need to be the favored or the loudest or the most impressive. His discipleship didn't run on attention. It ran on commitment. But when he did speak during Jesus' ministry, you can sense his character immediately. Direct, grounded, willing to name what others were avoiding. When the road ahead looked dangerous, Thomas wasn't the one pretending it was fine. He was the one acknowledging reality. Yet, he wasn't cowardly about it. He didn't use danger as an excuse to stay behind. There's this quiet courage in him that doesn't show off. It just follows. And that matters because many of us think courage always looks like bold speeches and fearless grins. But sometimes courage looks like a realistic person choosing faith anyways. Sometimes it's a steady soul saying, I understand the costs and I'm still coming. And Thomas had that kind of loyalty, the kind that doesn't need to be dramatic to be real. Imagine the day-to-day life of the disciples, the long walks, the shifting crowds, the constant demand. The unpredictable turns. Jesus teaching one moment, confronting hypocrisy the next, healing someone in an instant and then disappearing into quiet prayer. In that kind of life, you'd have disciples reacting in all sorts of ways. Some would talk through everything. Some would ask 1,000 questions. Some would try to impress. But Thomas would observe. He would listen. He would store things. Not because he lacked passion, but because his mind wanted to understand before his mouth announced. And in a strange way, that makes him incredibly relatable. See, a lot of us aren't Peter types. We aren't charging into spiritual moments with bold certainty. We're the ones quietly thinking, I believe, but I need to understand what I'm believing. We're the ones who need faith to connect reality, not float above it. We're the ones who don't feel comfortable copying someone else's confidence if our heart hasn't caught up yet. Thomas speaks for the careful-hearted. Thomas also reminds us that Jesus called different kinds of people on purpose. If Jesus only chose enthusiastic personalities, the kingdom would feel like it belonged only to a certain type of person. But he didn't. He chose men who were impulsive and men who were analytical, men who were fiery, and men who were steady. The presence of Thomas in the circle is proof that Jesus wanted thinkers too. He wanted people who would test the foundation, not because they disliked truth, but because they honored it enough to make sure it could stand. Thomas's relationship with Jesus would have been shaped by that dynamic. He likely didn't gush. He likely didn't flatter. He didn't constantly announce devotion, but he followed. He stayed close and he listened. He learned. He made room inside himself for Jesus' words to sink deep rather than skim the surface. And Jesus never pushed him out for being that way. Jesus never hinted that Thomas was too slow, too serious, too grounded. Jesus kept him, included him, loved him. And that alone should comfort every person who feels like their faith is quieter than everyone else's. There's another layer to Thomas that matters. His honesty wasn't just intellectual. It was relational. People like him don't do shallow relationships well. They don't enjoy small talk for the sake of it. They value sincerity. They appreciate clarity. They don't love pretending. That means if Thomas loved Jesus, it would have been the kind of love built on trust, not hype. The kind of love that grows slowly but holds firmly. The kind that doesn't evaporate when the mood changes. And that's why Thomas matters as an apostle. Even before we get to the moment, history keeps replaying. His legacy begins with the fact that he walked with Jesus fully while Jesus was alive. He didn't drift. He didn't opt out. He didn't stay behind when the path got strange or the teachings got challenging. He remained. His faith was being formed the same way ours is formed most of the time, not through constant miracles, but through daily proximity and steady obedience. Thomas teaches us that discipleship isn't measured by how loud you are about it. It's measured by whether you keep walking. And so when we relate to Thomas, we aren't relating to his famous question yet. We're relating to his personality, his carefulness, his realism, loyalty, his desire for faith that isn't borrowed. We're relating to the kind of heart that wants to follow Jesus honestly, even if it takes longer to speak. We're relating to the person who doesn't want a spiritual performance. They just want truth. And that's Thomas, a faithful apostle with a steady soul, walking beside Jesus, learning day by day, quietly building a foundation strong enough to carry him through what was coming next. And then it came. The crucifixion. Everything changed. Not just because Jesus died, but because the disciples' world collapsed in the space of a single brutal reality. The life they had built around Jesus didn't simply shift, it shattered. For the more expressive disciples, grief might have come out loud. For Thomas, grief likely went inward. People like him don't process trauma in public. They process it slowly, quietly, carefully, trying to understand what just happened and how they are supposed to live in a world where they think where the thing they trusted most had been taken. This is where Thomas's story becomes painfully human. Because when people talk about him later, they often reduce him to stubbornness. But if you've ever lost something you deeply believed in, you understand that your heart becomes cautious afterward. Hope feels risky. Trust feels expensive. You don't want to open your hands again just to have everything ripped away a second time. Thomas didn't refuse belief because he didn't love Jesus. He struggled because he loved Jesus enough that losing him broke something inside him. He wasn't guarding his pride. He was guarding his heart. So when the others began saying Jesus was alive, Thomas couldn't simply ride on their excitement. He needed to know. Not because he enjoyed being difficult, but because he couldn't handle false hope. If this resurrection wasn't real, if it was only grief talking, he didn't want to build his heart on it and shatter again. That's why he needed proof before praise. Praise without certainty would have felt like pretending, and Thomas didn't do pretending. And here's the thing that should stop us in our tracks. Jesus didn't punish him for that need. Jesus met him there. He didn't dismiss him as less faithful. He didn't throw him out of the circle. He didn't say, "You missed your chance." Jesus answered Thomas with presence. That matters for us because most of us have had moments where faith feels too fragile to speak confidently. We've had seasons where the world hurt too much and hope felt too dangerous. We've had times when we wanted to believe, but we needed reassurance that we weren't clinging to a story just to survive the pain. Thomas gives language to that experience without shame. Once Thomas knew, once the truth landed fully, his faith didn't wobble. People who come to faith through honesty often become the most grounded believers. Their devotion isn't fueled by mood, it's fueled by conviction. Thomas didn't become a man who needed proof for everything forever. He became a man who had met truth so personally that he could now carry it outward. After the resurrection, the disciples were sent. The faith wasn't meant to stay in a private circle of friends. It was meant to move into the world. Tradition says Thomas traveled far east, carrying the gospel into regions where faith would take root deeply. India, in particular, preserves a strong tradition of Thomas's ministry there. Churches trace their origins back to his work. People remember him not as Doubting Thomas, but as the apostle who brought the message of Jesus and stayed long enough for it to plant itself in real communities. That's a stunning legacy for a man history tried to reduce to a single moment of hesitation. His life after grief became a life of purpose. His story didn't end at the question. It continued into courage, endurance, and faithful mission. His death, like many apostles, is remembered through martyrdom. Accounts vary, but the consistent thread is this. Thomas did not abandon the faith that had been proven true to him. He carried it to the end. The man who refused to fake praise ultimately gave his life for the truth he had once feared was too good to be true. And what we can learn from him, what we can relate to, is this: faith that grows slowly can grow deep. Faith that asks honest questions can become unshakable. Faith that refuses to pretend is often the faith that endures. Thomas reminds us that Jesus does not reject careful hearts. He calls them, keeps them, meets them, and he strengthens them, and of course, uses them. Thomas is important because he proves something many of us quietly fear isn't true, that you can follow Jesus sincerely without having instant confidence, that careful faith isn't inferior faith, that needing reassurance doesn't make you a failure, it makes you human. His life reminds us that Jesus doesn't demand a performance. He invites a relationship, and relationships grow through honesty. So thank you for spending this time with me today. If this episode helped you, encouraged you, or made you feel a little less alone in your questions, I'm grateful you were here. Make sure you follow on Facebook or subscribe so you don't miss the next episode in this Apostle series. You can listen to this episode and find more resources on my website at katherineschaefer.com. And remember, this podcast will always stay free for your listening enjoyment. And if you ever want to support, if it falls on your heart to support whatever I'm building here, no pressure, no guilt, just simply a way to keep this going, you can do so on my website. Until next time, keep walking. Even slow steps still count.